Thank you, Tom. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Way of Truth. My name is Kenny Chumley. I'm the preacher for the Gibson City Church of Christ, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today as we continue this series we're doing on the truth of Christianity. I maintain that Christianity is the only true religion, that it's the only true worldview that one can hold, and that we ought to conform our life and our thinking and our doing to the revelation that is Christianity. And I'll be talking about the reasons why I believe that as we get deeper into this study here in just a minute or two. But let me begin by telling you about the church in town. We are not part of any denomination. We are a local group of Christians, of believers, and by Christian, I mean we are people who are trying to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to meet this morning. The building where we meet is on the south side of Gibson. It's on Route 47. We're the first building north of the Pizza Hut, across Caddy Corner from the drive-in theater. We'll meet at 9 o'clock, and we begin our worship with Bible classes for all ages. Now, in the adult class, we're studying the life of Christ. And at 10 o'clock, we will worship through singing and praying, reading scripture. We will eat the Lord's Supper, and there will be preaching from the Word of God. And this morning I start a series on the great themes of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. That begins this morning. At the conclusion of the sermon, we take a short break, and then we reassemble for a second Bible study. And in this second study, which lasts anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes, we are getting into the book of Leviticus. And Leviticus is such a relevant and important book for the understanding of Christianity. Last week we talked about the burnt offering, which is discussed in the first chapter of the book. And we looked at how what's said about the burnt offering in Leviticus 1 relates to the sacrifice of Christ. And so that's our study in the second class this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We will have a midweek study. Classes for all ages. The adult class is in the book of Revelation. And I want to mention our website, GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com, which contains audio files of these lessons on the radio, audio files of the sermons, our Sunday bulletin, and a great deal of other information that would help you better understand what we believe and who we are. Well, let me begin by saying what I've said many times on this program, that I believe there is a God, and I believe that Jesus is God. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the reason I believe that Jesus is God is because of the miracles that he performed. I mean, the way by which a supernatural being would demonstrate his supernaturalness would be by doing supernatural things. And that's what Jesus did. And the supernatural things that he did, we call miracles. And I've talked about the difference between the miraculous, which nature or life by itself cannot produce, and the providential, which nature can produce. And there's a huge difference between the two. Christ wasn't involved just in the providential. He was involved in the miraculous. He did things that required supernatural ability to do. Things like walking on water and things like turning water to wine and healing every form of sickness and disease brought to him and rising from the dead. Nature doesn't do these things, but Christ did. But now, the next logical link in the chain that I'm putting together is this. Yes, if Christ performed miracles, then that would demonstrate that he was supernatural or working with supernatural power. But the only reason we know he performed miracles is because there's a book that says he did. And what is it about that book that we call the Bible, the New Testament? What is it about this book that makes us believe that he actually did the miracles and did the things that we read about in that book? One of my favorite stories is The Wizard of Oz. I read The Wizard of Oz when I was a kid, and The Wizard of Oz tells of the Emerald City, which is above the rainbow, and The Wizard of Oz tells of magic slippers, and it tells of a witch riding on a broom, all sorts of things. that I don't believe any of. I don't believe any of those marvelous things in The Wizard of Oz are true. But when I read in the Bible that Jesus walked on water and that he cured every disease and that he raised from the dead, I believe that is true. And so then someone might be wondering, well, why do you believe the Bible but not Baum, L. Frank Baum, who wrote the book of The Wizard of Oz? Well, that's what we're going to examine. And I'm not going to talk about the Bible as a whole. I'm going to narrow our discussion to the first four books of the New Testament that we know as the Gospels. You know, the Bible is a library of 27 different books that were written over a period of 20 to 50 years that were collected into a single volume that we call the New Testament. The first four of these books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are our primary sources for the life of Christ. Now, last week, we looked at some of the extra-biblical material for the life of Christ. We talked about Josephus, and we talked about some of the Gentile writers like Tacitus and Suetonius and others like that. But now we're going to the documents that give us most everything we know about Christ. And those documents, again, are referred to as the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These four individuals claim to be historians who recorded the story of Jesus. L. Frank Baum never claimed to be an historian, by the way. He claimed to be a fantasy writer, a writer of children's fiction. He never pretended that he was writing some sort of real history. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did. Two of the four, Matthew and John, were eyewitnesses of the things that they wrote. John goes to great lengths to tell us that he actually saw some of the things that he's writing about. The other two Gospels, Mark and Luke, were written by people who were companions of the eyewitnesses. So far as we know, Mark and Luke didn't actually see Jesus, although maybe Mark did, but almost certainly Luke probably didn't. But Mark and Luke were companions of those who were eyewitnesses. Mark was a companion of both Peter and Paul. And Luke was a companion of Paul. And both Peter and Paul claimed to be eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. But even if Mark and Luke were writing their history based on secondhand evidence, why, we accept secondhand evidence all the time. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. If I ask Tom how long it takes to drive from Colfax to Gibson City, and Tom says, well, it takes about 20 minutes. And then I bump into you out on the sidewalk this week, and you ask me, do you know how long it takes to get from Colfax to Gibson City? And I said, well, Tom tells me it takes 20 minutes or so. You would accept that testimony. You would accept that as valid and accurate. You'd believe me unless you had some other information that suggested, oh no, it takes a lot longer to get from Gibson to Bloomington than 20 minutes. If you had no other valid information to the contrary, you would believe what I told you based on what Tom told me. And that's something of what we have with Mark and Luke. Their Gospels, even though they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, Luke particularly tells us that he collected information for his Gospel by talking to people who had actually seen Jesus, who had actually been with Jesus, and recording their testimony. And in doing that, Luke is in the very best tradition of historical writers. Let me give you an example, historical example of what I'm talking about. The Punic Wars, P-U-N-I-C. The Punic Wars were wars that occurred between Rome and Carthage. Carthage was the great city there on the northern coast of Africa. Carthage was settled by Phoenicians. And there were three great clashes between Rome and Carthage. And the historian who tells us about these wars was a man by the name of Polybius. and Polybius wrote about each war. Now, to gather his information to write about the First Punic War, he relied upon written documents by people who had been in the war, who had left recollections behind, who had left accounts behind of their involvement in the war. Polybius didn't talk to any of these people directly. He was not alive when the First Punic War took place, but he took the records of those who were alive, who were in the war, and based on their writings, he wrote about the First Punic War. Well, with the Second Punic War, by the time Polybius began writing about it, there were people still alive who had been in that conflict. And he tracked them down and he talked to some of them, and based upon their firsthand eyewitness experience, he wrote the history of the Second Punic War. When it came time for the Third Punic War, Polybius wrote from his own experiences because he was part of the campaign that went to Africa to destroy the city of Carthage. So he wrote from firsthand eyewitness perspective. And even though he wrote about each war differently, from a different basis, no one doubts the accuracy of what he wrote. We believe that what he said about the First War, although it has a little less attestation than what he said about the Third War, is still reliable and valid and valuable history that we can read and learn about the events of those days today. Now, that's what Luke did. Luke didn't see Jesus, but he talked to people who did see Jesus, and based on what they told him, he wrote his account that we know as the Gospel of Luke. And so here are four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that purport to be reliable, credible accounts of the life of Jesus. Is there any way of checking their veracity? Is there any way of checking their reliability? And the answer to that is yes. Historians have come up with means by which the integrity of an ancient document can be evaluated. Now, let me tell you something before we go any farther. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they each wrote an account, a gospel, based on the life of Christ, but we do not have what they actually wrote. And what historians call that is the autograph. We don't have the document that Matthew wrote out, or Mark, or Luke, and John. What we have are copies of what they wrote. And the word for a copy of something that's made in the same language is the word manuscript. There are manuscripts that exist that are copies of what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote. A manuscript is a copy in the same language. A version, like the New King James Version, the American Standard Version, New American Standard Bible Version, a version is a copy in a different language. We don't have the originals. We have copies of the original. Now, before you conclude, well, if we don't have the original that Matthew wrote, or Mark, or Luke, or John, we really can't know then what they have to say. Well, hold on just a minute, because the fact is we don't have the original of any writer from antiquity, for any classical writer. You've heard of Homer, who wrote about the Iliad, the Trojan War, and the Odyssey, Ulysses' journey back to Greece. We don't have the original of what Homer wrote. We don't have the original of what Herodotus wrote, or Plutarch. We don't have the original of what Josephus wrote. We don't even have the original Shakespeare plays. There does not exist, so far as we know, a single original play that Shakespeare actually wrote that has survived to the present day. Everything we know about ancient history, when you pull down a history book and you're going to read about Greece or Rome or Egypt or Carthage, Hannibal, or any other figure from antiquity, everything we know about ancient history is based on manuscripts that were copies of the original documents. And since my time is gone for today, I can't go into this any further. But let me just say, starting next week, we'll look at the test that historians use to verify the authenticity and the reliability of ancient manuscripts. And we'll see that the New Testament, the evidence for the Gospels, stands in first place, and whichever writer, Herodotus, Homer, Thucydides, is in second place, is so far behind we can't even see him. We'll talk about that next week, and I hope you'll be with us, and I hope you have a good week as we get into the month of November here. And I look forward to being with you again next Sunday at 8 o'clock right here on The Way of Truth.